Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Every week, we like to check in with our social media guru, Scott Kleinberg. Good morning, Scott. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing better because, and you'll be very proud of me, Scott, because I am navigating my way around Zoom like a pro now. I've moved from Zooming on my phone to Zooming on my laptop. I think I've figured out which way to swipe and all of that stuff. How about that?
I'm going to be calling you for some tips. This is
yeah,
very impressive.
I don't think so. Let's talk about... We're all on social media more than ever now, and we're also getting a lot of our information that way. I know you have some info on a new survey. What is this telling us?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So this is a study from Flixt, which is a cord cutting and streaming video blog, which I read all the time. And they did a study of over 1,000 people, and they're all ages, from Generation Z to baby boomers. And it's showing how people are consuming their news during this whole pandemic. And the data is showing right off the bat that Facebook is the clear leader when it comes to news distribution. Now, a lot of that has to do, of course, with Facebook size, but it also has to do with the fact that a lot of your friends and your family are sharing things on Facebook, and that's just the way it goes. But what's really interesting is that it turns out the most popular social media platforms, so Facebook is number one, about 36% of people said that was number one, followed by Twitter, which is 17%, which is, pretty big difference, but still 17%. And then YouTube, which I found really interesting, at 16.3%, and Reddit, which is it's a platform we don't talk about all that often, but they have 12.4%. And the thing that's really interesting about all of these is you have the whole problem where, people are spreading misinformation. You have to be careful about that. So you have Facebook, where they're doing a really, really good job in trying to keep this misinformation at bay. Twitter is doing a much worse job when it comes to that, and that could be why their numbers are down a little bit. So it's really interesting. And then Reddit is a place traditionally where people go to try to solve problems, and they don't really source the information very well. So that's a place that I worry about when it comes to honest information. But it's really interesting to see those numbers for those platforms. And throughout the whole process of this, they reported 53 minutes a day that they're spending 53 minutes of their day consuming news coverage about COVID-19. Now, what's interesting about that is before the pandemic, the average was 22 minutes shorter. So, it was 31 minutes before this whole thing started, and now it's 53 minutes. Of course, a lot of people are stuck inside, but a lot of people are really, really concerned about what's going on. So it makes sense that, people are spending more time with the news.
So as far as going on social media to find out about the virus, Facebook is the leader?
Facebook is the leader with 36%. And keep in mind, that's because that's really what our habit is. You want to find out what's going on in the world. What do? You go on Facebook, you find out what your friends are talking about, what your family are talking about, and people like to share on Facebook. So yeah, Facebook is number one, double of what Twitter has, 17%.
Well, even if you're going on Facebook just to catch up with other people, you're going to get the news by accident, even if that's not why you went on Facebook, right?
Exactly right. You're going to get that news by accident, but then you have the decision to make. Are you going to share this information with other people that you know? And what I find that, this is pandemic or otherwise, it's kind of more difficult these days to go on Facebook to see something and not share it. It used to be where you'd go, you'd read something, you'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I'll share that. Now, that's more the default than anything else, that you're going to share what's on there. So I think those numbers are skewed in that way. But I think it's still accurate to say that, we spend so much of our time on Facebook that it makes sense by extension that this would happen.
Yeah, good point. And as always, be careful before you share. Check it out, because we don't need misinformation.
think before you link is my favorite thing to say, so I could not agree more.
I like that. Think before you link. And we were talking earlier about the graduates. It's kind of rough because they don't get to participate in the usual in-person activities these days. But Facebook has got an interesting project. What are they doing?
Yeah, Facebook is working with Oprah for this graduation project. And I know you guys were talking about Chicago, which is a different initiative. She's like really, really busy, but she's working with Facebook for this thing called Graduation 2020. So it's hashtag Graduation 2020. It's an event that's going to be broadcast both on Facebook and Instagram, because remember, they're the same company. And it's going to include appearances by, you know, a lot of celebrities, Jennifer Garner, Simone Biles. And Oprah is going to do the commencement address, and there's going to be a special performance musically by Miley Cyrus. So it acknowledges high schools and colleges in the U.S. by name, state by state. It includes photos and videos of the class of 2020, and there's messages from deans and principals all over the country. If you picture what your graduation would be like if this wasn't going on, and you combine the graduation with everyone else's graduation, add in a whole bunch of celebrities and broadcast the entire thing over social media, you know, in a lot of ways, this is like a dream come true kind of graduation in the worst possible way. You know, kids are going through such a hard time, you know, not getting the graduation, not getting the senior year that they're entitled to have. And Facebook is really trying to come together. They're calling it a week-long graduation celebration. So they get to, you know, have all this stuff going on. And at the same time, they're putting together tools where they can host virtual parties of their own. Instagram will have special stickers for stories so you can share it in different ways. It's really an example of making, because this is obviously a social media generation, and they're really taking advantage of that, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, well, at least there's something. I mean, that's about all anybody can do, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen some really cool stuff going on online. Like, for example, these are all projects that are not necessarily related, but they're tied together by social media. There's kids out there, and they're having family take their graduation photos either inside their homes, you know, where they're isolated, or maybe in their driveway by their cars. They're all dressed up in their suits and their ties and their dresses, and they look great. You know, it's just like it would be if they were doing it with a professional photographer. And then they're taking these photos and they're sharing it on social media. So if we go back to what Facebook and Instagram are doing, where you can do all these special things, you know, you take a photo like that, you add the hashtag graduation 2020, you put the special sticker on it from Instagram. And, you know, before long, you're tying people together that wouldn't necessarily be tied together, not locally in their school, but over social media. I think it's a really positive thing to do. And, you know, nothing will substitute, but at least it'll make a dent.
Yeah, like you say, it is the social media generation, but do you think the kids are going to be happy with a TikTok prom, really?
You know what? A lot of kids are pretty happy with TikTok. I think, you know, if you're going to do a prom on social media, you might as well do it on TikTok. But yeah, they held a prom last week. I looked around and, you know, I'll tell you, Bob, you know, years ago, I didn't even go to my prom. I would not have gone to a TikTok prom, I can tell you that. But, you know, there's a bunch of people dancing. There's a hashtag. It's way, way over my head. But hey, you know, if they're happy, that's what counts.
Yeah. Thank goodness for the technology today. Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist, talking with us this morning. Tell us what Instagram is doing with donations, Scott.
This is really cool, Bob. So it's a new fundraising option. It works within Instagram Live, which, remember, is the video service that allows you to have a live broadcast. And it enables users to raise funds during an Instagram live stream. So the way I like to look at it is it's a small-scale telethon inside the app. So Instagram came out with this. They said many people are facing challenges, and they want to do their part to support nonprofits and communities who need it the most. So they made this function where you can create this fundraiser, and 100% of the money raised goes directly to the nonprofit that you're supporting. So picture you do this stream, you see how many people are on the stream at any given time, it tells you how many people are pledging support to the cause, and it gives you a real-time listing of the total number of money raised. So you tap the word view, for example, and you can see a full breakdown. Who is the donor? Where is the donor from? How much did the donor pledge? Has the donor been active in these types of charities before, if they want to provide that information? And then you can thank them. There's like this virtual wave symbol, and it's next to their name, and you can thank them for that. So it's like a really cool thing where, you know, we don't know if this is going to continue after the pandemic is over, but basically anyone who runs a nonprofit nonprofit can totally see this thing working at any time, you know, where you want to raise money. You do, you know, you think of it like the Oprah model with Facebook that we were just talking about. You know, you can put on a show, you can have entertainment, you can do all these different things, and you can raise money. It's like, you know, like when Jerry Lewis did the telethon. You know, it's the virtual tote board, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, a virtual telethon. All right, yeah. let me run a couple of things by you here regarding Zoom. First of all,
sure.
Does everybody get it now? Do you have you come across folks who are making the same mistakes on Zoom, or are there things that people don't know about Zoom that they should know?
There's definitely, well, people are getting better. Like you said, you know, you've navigated your way through it. That's uh-huh. good. But there are still things that people don't realize. Like, for example, there is this thing on Zoom called virtual backgrounds. I don't know if you found this or not. Mm-hmm. But you basically, they give you photos. You can upload photos, and it puts whatever that virtual photo is behind you. And the point of that is that's not a new thing that came out with the pandemic. They've always had that. But the point of that is people who are remote sometimes are sitting in rooms that aren't exactly, you know, cleaned up and, you know, don't look great, you know, whatever. I always make sure that what's behind me looks good, but a lot of people don't. So this way, you know, there's all kinds of fun things. There's like space and there's nature, but you can upload lots of stuff. And what's really cool is the Chicago Tribune did a project last week where they put all these photos that their photographers took of like great things in the city, like, you know, Millennium Park and Grand Park. And, you know, you have these photos behind you that make you look like you're somewhere. And it's really cool. So that's a really important thing. And I think one of the things on Zoom that people don't know is that if you're not paying for a pro Zoom account, which I'm assuming 99.8% of people are not, you get a 40-minute limit on your meetings. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's like this now. I don't know if they changed it, but what I said before, I've been using Zoom since 2011, you know, through work. And when I used to be on calls with people, it would just completely drop the meeting after 40 minutes. You wouldn't get any warning. And sometimes you'd forget about it and you'd be like, oh, the 40-minute limit. I don't know if it gives you a prompt now telling you that's happening, but people who are together on Zoom watching an hour-long TV show are going to find that they can't get all the way through the TV show. So those are two things I know right off the bat that people aren't necessarily always aware of, but those are important.
Do you know how much it costs to get the paid Zoom where there's no time limit? Is it a monthly charge?
It's a monthly charge. There's different accounts. It's a pro account, which is the next one. I think that's $14.99 a month. There's a business plan that's $19.99 a month, and there's an enterprise one. They kind of go up from there. I mean, if you're going to do an account on Zoom that's not free, the pro one is better than the business or the enterprise, the $14.99 one, because you get all the basic features. And, like, for example, you get 100 participants, but you can ask for more. That meeting duration that was 40 minutes is 24 hours. Now, if you're spending 24 hours at one time on Zoom, you probably have more things to worry about than just the pro account. So I feel like the difference between 40 minutes and 24 hours is pretty good.
And that virtual background, it's just a button, right? And if you've got photos on your phone, you can make any one of those a background, can't you?
You can. And, you know, it's super simple. You just basically click this little plus button. It tells you to upload the photo. You do. It centers it in the frame and puts it behind you. So pretty much you can use anything. The one thing that I would say in terms of a really good tip is test your photo before you get on the call, because you could actually do it live, you know, while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. I think you got to be careful because the photo could size itself in a weird way. Of course, a photo could be, you know, not the right photo for what you're trying to do. I think you can just do that a few minutes ahead of time just to make sure that you have everything in place.
And on the free Zoom account, how many people can you have?
You can have up to 100 participants, which I think that's asking, you know, for a lot. I think in general, you know, most people do 9 or 10. That's like a normal thing. But if you want to, you can host up to 100.
Yeah, and I think I've figured this out, which way you swipe, because in some positions, you get like a full screen of only the person talking, and then you're in the little box, but there's another way to do it, so you see everybody, right? Is it just a matter of where you're swiping?
It's exactly it's a matter of where you're swiping. It also depends on the vehicle you're using, because I've used Zoom on my desktop, which works a little bit differently in terms of clicking on the box. Swiping works on your mobile phone, on the iPhone. The one thing that's really interesting is that your camera on your mobile device is probably better than your camera on your laptop. So for me, I prefer to use Zoom on the small screen, even though it looks better on the bigger screen, because it makes me look a little bit better than I would on the laptop camera. So there's all kinds of different ways that you can use it. There's no real wrong way. It's just a matter of finding what works for you, which sounds like exactly what you've done.
Before all this, we thought Zoom was just a kid's television show from years ago. Scott Kleinberg, always good talking to you, Scott. We'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great, Bob. Take care.